Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that I have ears. And they hear. I have eyes. And they see. And I have a heart that does perceive that you're working on me. Amen? So what I heard loud and clear this morning was John chapter 7. And if you remember where I took you with that sword, I think sometimes somebody that's a total stranger can say a word to us and it'll hurt. But if it's somebody that we care about in a deep way and we have a deep relationship where a word from them will be a bigger sword, more destructive than someone that we barely know. And if you look at the heading on the NIV, it says in John 7, Jesus goes to the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, in order to give you a little bit of background, every believer, I believe, from 30 AD to 325, celebrated the feast. It might have been more compulsory than we have today, because they understood the Jewish background. They walked and were taught by Jews. The foundation of Christianity would not have anything to stand on if it wasn't for the scriptures. And the old covenant was honored and respected. Today, we have a new theology and a different Christ, a different Jesus in many churches that is being advertised. Oh, he's going to prosper you. He's going to make you rich. Well, I don't see a Cadillac on every Christian door. I don't. But yet I understood the beginning because it was a seduction. And I'm not trying to criticize people. I'm trying to give you an awareness that there's something bigger involved. In 325, they took out as much of the Jewish traditions and the honor of the feasts and wiped them out. They established new things that were fitting the Roman and the Greeks and the orthodoxies, because there's multiples of them. And they recreated a new Christianity. And it became politically correct. Now, I've got news for you. If I was gay, it would be politically correct for me to go and get married today. 40 years ago, it would have been a curse. That shows you what man has done to the foundation stones of Christianity. Amen. And I'm not trying to criticize. I'm trying to give you something to hold on to so that you can see that the foundations are going to come back. God is interested in putting back what has been stolen and deceived and perceived to be odd enough as an alien Jesus. The Jesus I see preached over the country, over the different countries as well. Not all of it is Christ. Not all of it is the one that I love. But we respect them because St. Paul says respect them. St. Paul says don't criticize them. At least they're talking about my Savior. Amen? So it's not my job to criticize. It is my job to show you why he pushed my buttons years ago. Because he created a hunger for me to honor the feasts of God. So here's Jesus going to the Feast of Tabernacles, John 7. After Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea, because the Jews were waiting to take his life. Oh, what a future. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "You ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do." Tell me what spirit is speaking through these boys. It's very similar to what you received from somebody you loved this past week. Yeah, sure. We made plans, but you got to serve this God of yours, not hers. The God of yours. It's a different God that you're serving. Got it?
Yeah.
All right. Verse 4, no one wants to become a public figure, acts in secret, since you are doing these things to show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Now, I've spoken on this before, several times, but I want to make sure that you hear what I believe the Holy Spirit wants to glean from this word today. The persecution that he went through had to be horrible. And it was prophesied that he was going to go through this. But, you know, sometimes you get a little more frosting on the cake and somebody decides to add nice big separate flowers. It doesn't just an average cake. It becomes a real fancy birthday type cake. It's got decorations on it. It's got candles. Well, I want to pour a couple of candles on your cake today. Okay? Because I was reading in Psalm 56. So if you'll go to Psalm 56, I think you're going to see a little bit of a prophetic word about our Savior through King David. King David prophesied his death. He prophesied his birth. He prophesied his irritations. But today, I want you to see a little bit more of what Jesus went through so that you'll have a taste and an awareness of what's happening to you. Because again, we're the body of Christ. We're going to taste some of the same things he tasted. Verse 1, "Be merciful to me, O God, for men hotly pursue me. All day long they press their attacks. My slanderers pursue me all day long. Many are attacking me in their pride. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid." I believe that's our Lord speaking. "What can mortal man do to me?" Verse 5 should have a circle around it because it's important. "All day long they twist my words. They are always plotting to harm me. They conspire. They lurk. They watch my steps, eager to take my life. On no account let them escape. In your anger, O God, bring down the nations. Record my lament. List my tears on your scroll." Are they not recorded? "Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose words I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid." Notice again, he's not going to bow to fear. Amen? "What can man do to me?" Well, he knows what man can do. "I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." Verse 5 again, because I think I'm trying to push a button here. "All day long they twist my words. They are always plotting to harm me. Not part-time damage, full-time. Why? Because you are the body of Christ. You're connected to the deliverance of this earth. Are you not priests and kings in the order of Melchizedek? Corporately, you are a threat. Look at your neighbor, say, you're and I are a threat.
You and I are a threat.
To all the darkness.
To all the darkness.
And nothing has changed. The same darkness that tried to overwhelm Jesus is trying to make fools out of me. So again, John chapter 7. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore Jesus told them, the right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. You go to the feast. I am not yet going up to this feast because for me, the right time has not yet come. Verse 9, having said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the feast, he went also not publicly, but in secret. Now, at the feast, the Jews were watching for him and asking, where is that man? Among the crowd, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, he's a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews. The Jews had an agenda. Their political system was more important than their Savior. Nothing has changed. The political system in our country is being shaken. We've had people being exposed. And I believe that the Word of God is not going to make mockery of these that are wholesome and godly. And I do believe our country is turning around. I'm not for any political particulars. I am, however, trying to stand in awe of the Lord who is exposing this darkness. And it will be exposed to the degree that it needs to be. And just like Jesus, when he corporately puts his church as the full agenda for our political people. Because, you know, God uses politics. He's not afraid of politics. But what he is aware of is our country's been heading in the wrong direction for a long time. And I don't want you to focus on the political. I want you to keep your focus on the Holy Spirit that is coordinating the church, getting it to be obedient to him. The feast was designed by God for us to honor the Most High. And I've never declared from this pulpit or any other conversation that I've had with people that it was something that you had to do in order to do and be a believer. But what I have said is when there is a hunger created by God in you to celebrate the feast, you may not go when everyone else is going. You may be doing something different when all the churches are doing something totally different. But if you are called of God to celebrate this feast, then he's going to put that hunger in you and nobody's going to be able to make you change your mind. Nobody. So who do I depend on? I depend on the Holy Spirit to call those that he's prepared. Because I have no clue what he's going to do. I do know this. He'll show up. He always does. He's going to do a work that's beyond us. Like he did on Tuesday night. And he did last week. You know, he's the same God. He's never changed. But the most important part is this: pray for one another. Intercede as the Holy Spirit leads you. And I believe what he wants to do is to rejuvenate you in him. Not necessarily all physical stuff. Spiritual hunger will be formed in you through this feast. And I do believe that he is not going to change his way of doing things. It goes on in John chapter 7. You can read the whole thing. But the most important part is this: he obeyed his Father. I leave you with John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. Jesus never did anything to please himself. He only did to please his Father and to obey what he saw the Holy Ghost doing. That's what I want for you. So if you'll close your eyes, say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
put a call in my heart,
to press in,
to celebrate the feast the way you want it done. Give grace and favor to those who will be teaching us, because it'll be different people from different regions for God's purpose. In Jesus' name, we pray for all those that are hurting, especially those who have been wounded from transfigured words or twisted words that came out of somebody's mouth to hurt them, to stop them from going forward with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God willing, we'll see you tonight at 7. And I would definitely say pray for Israel. Pray for Jerusalem as the Lord leads you through this feast. Because I do believe is about to be shaken. Especially for the Jew, because it's that blood moon that we've been waiting for. And don't put all your hopes in the heavenlies. Put your hope on the heavenly one. The rest will fall into place. Amen? So, God's joy to be with you. And...